We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey, double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hop Hall of Fame for dirt, we love you with a deep reverence.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving.
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
They waiting on my fall off. I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey, double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hall of Fame for dirt, we love you with a deep reverence. Backcourt nasty, I wonder who gon' check him. Cuban did his thing when he went and got number 11. I still got his picture on my wall at 707. Feel synonymous with Kyrie, how we both train with aggression. Competition obsolete, trying to breathe life into my dreams. I'm so tired of sleep, still got some work from last season that was incomplete. So hunger for redemption, thank my boys, that's my overeat. Like Luka with his three, if I'm hit, my mic is prone to overheat. I pride myself the most, I'm 22 and my folks proud of me. I took the hard way since I was 10, was no surprise to me. A step back, Mavs blowing up, was no surprise to me. And I'm speaking honestly.
Seven.
Woo, DJ, what a game three in Dallas. The playoff home opener for the Mavs this year. And it was physical, just like these, you know, first two games were. And when the dust settled, the Mavs' physicality was just too much for the Clippers to handle. And the Mavs came away with a 101-90 win over the Clippers in game three. They have now taken a 2-1 series lead over the Clippers. And just great stuff from the Mavs overall. Look, in a game where, you know, Luka and Kyrie only have to combine for 43 points. You know, Luka had 22. Kyrie Irving had 21. And Luka almost had a triple-double in this one, too. Had 10 rebounds and 9 assists. 2 steals apiece for Luka and Kyrie. And then you had some, you know, how do I want to say it? You had some evenly distributed contributions across the board from Mavs role players. You got good stuff from Derrick Jones Jr. for the second consecutive game. You got good stuff from PJ Washington, who is about that life. He welcomes the smoke and he can dish it. You know, the thing about the Clippers is, and we'll get into this in a little bit. This is completely off track from my my opening, talking about just the general stats of this game, but. You know, the Clippers, it seemed like they started this series front-running a little bit in game one. And, you know, Russell Westbrook was talking and everything in game one. And then when the Mavs turn around and dish it right back at them in the next two games and they start talking a little bit, PJ Washington starts talking and doing like this toward the Clippers bench and stuff like that. Then Russell Westbrook gets mad about it. And so, you know, he can dish it, but he obviously can't take it very much. So
sensitive. So sensitive.
Very, very sensitive that Russell Westbrook is. And shout out to him. It was the first game since 2005 when Kendrick Perkins did it, where a guy had more technical fouls than points in a game.
Maybe he'll be doing commentary here pretty soon.
Yeah. He can't be any worse. He got ejected in the fourth. And I mean, PJ Washington got ejected too because he had a technical earlier in the game. But you know, by that point, the game was pretty much over anyway. And you know, so shout out to Russell Westbrook. He had his 1 point and his two technical fouls and one big fat L. So congrats to you. Okay, PJ Washington, before he got ejected, he had 10 points, 5 of 10 overall. Didn't hit a three, but he had 5 rebounds, 3 steals, a block, and he was a plus 23 on the night, which was the best of any Maverick. The second best was Kyrie at plus 17.
He was so good defensively. So good defensively.
Just a dog. I mean, that's really all you can say about PJ. He has been everything we hoped he would be and more so far. You know, if he improves his three-point shooting consistency, which hasn't been a bit, you know, even when he's not hitting, it hasn't been a big deal because he just does so many other things consistently. But if he gets that 3-point shot going consistently, I don't know what you do with this Mavs team. I mean, they're solid from top to bottom. I'm not going to say anything about Luka's efficiency from now on, because each time I've come on, I've said, Luka's not going to do that again. He's not going to do that again. He went 11 of 26 in both game one and game two. Well, he came out tonight and he was good. He almost had a triple double and, you know, a couple steals and got to the free throw line a few times at key moments, but he shot 7 of 25. So he shot worse than the previous two games. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say at some point you would think there would be a high efficiency Luka game.
Well, whenever that does happen, it's going to be an easy win. But I'm going to tell you what, we really weren't that efficient from the 3-point line as a team. I think we shot like what, 26%?
Yeah, 26.5% on the night from deep. I mean, and it didn't matter.
That's super pedestrian. No, where we really got them was number one, our defense was exceptional. First of all, we've got two clones for post players. One just comes off the bench for the other, and they do essentially the exact same thing. And that's awesome because we don't lose anything when one of them goes out with foul trouble or whatever. Defense won the game for us tonight, but also I thought our spacing was outstanding on offense. And that's what led to a lot of these lob opportunities. You know, hats off to Jason Kidd for making that adjustment. He spread the offense out a little bit more, gave Kyrie and Luka a little bit more room to attack. And I mean, heck, Derek Lively feasted off of it, especially in the first half. He was a lob machine. We're talking go-go gadget arms galore. So
yep.
I was, I was very pleased to see that offensive adjustment by Jason Kidd.
I love when we talk about stuff on a previous pod, and then it's like it gets wheeled into existence a little bit, because we just talked about it after game two, how the Clippers had completely taken away the lob from the Mavs in the first two games of this series. And, you know, we were wondering if they'd be able to find a way to change that. And obviously they did in this game because, you know, Gafford, you know, I think Lively outplayed Gafford for a second consecutive game, but Gafford had his first solid game, in my opinion. You know, he looked a lot more comfortable at home. You know, it didn't seem like that back injury was agitating him too much, because, you know, there was one time in the first half where I think he missed a shot, and before he even, like, he jumped, and before he even hit the ground, he grabbed the rebound and dunked it back, you know, while he was in midair. So that back seemed fine to me. But I love when we talk about stuff like that, and then it carries over into another thing we talked about is, you know, the bigs being strong with the ball in the paint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if they're not going to finish themselves, you know, be strong. Don't let the Clippers knock it out of your hands. And if you're not going to finish yourself, then find the open guy. And I thought overall, the Mavs bigs did a great job with that during this game.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's because of where they were catching the ball. In the first two games, the reason they kept having the ball turn, or the reason they kept turning the ball over, rather, is because they were catching it low, because everything was being thrown low. Everything was a bounce pass because, like we said, they were taking away the lob. Well, now that we've opened things up, now that we've spread the floor, obviously that impacts the defense because they have to respect our shooters. And so now those lobs and those higher passes are there. And Zubac just isn't long enough and can't jump high enough to be able to go up and get that. And if Zubac can't get it, none of their people are going to be able to get it because he's their best chance, in my opinion.
It's really crazy that Zubac has pretty much been the Clippers' best player in this series. Yeah. Well, I'll say this. It's between Norman him Powell. And Norman Powell.
Yeah.
Who Powell was my ex-factor.
Powell looked like a superstar tonight.
Yeah. He was that, you know, when we did our series preview pod and we were talking about non-star guys to keep an eye, that's the guy I was worried about. And luckily, the Mavs have been able to bring enough physicality to the table to where, you know, the Clippers stars don't look like they want any part of it. And Norman Powell is taking advantage and, you know, getting his, even though the other ones aren't getting their points. So he's been great. Zubac's been great. James Harden and Norman Powell both had 21 points. They led the Clippers tonight. Zubac had 19 points and 8 rebounds. Did have a block and a steal too, but he was a negative 5. James Harden was a negative 21 in this game.
He was terrible. But I'm going to tell you what. And so was, and Paul George wasn't good either. But and something's wrong with Kawhi
is not 100% at all.
He's hurt. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play next game. Like, I think that he may have tweaked something because that's not the Kawhi Leonard I know.
He might be actually making them worse right now.
Well, he can't. He can't move the way that he wants to. And the thing is, he tries to assert himself offensively, but he can't get by anybody. And he's not, like, the size differential on all of his matchups isn't great enough for him to just bully ball people anymore. So it just doesn't. Again, though, I think he's hurt, and I think that's playing a really large part as to why he's playing so poorly.
It's one of those two things. He either is hurt and is playing hurt, or that knee inflammation has kind of gotten into his psyche a little bit, and he mm-hmm. thinks if he pushes too hard, you know, what's going to happen? You know, what if this is leading up to an ACL injury or something like that? So, I mean, there were times tonight, you know, where he drove baseline and dunked and, caught a lob, had a nice mid-range step back shot that looked good. So on those plays, physically, he seemed fine. So I'm wondering if it's more of a mental thing and it's like, okay, well, if we play Kawhi more than 30 minutes in a game and he overdoes it, you know, what's going to happen with his knee throughout the course of this series? And maybe he's out for a much longer time. So I don't know. I don't know. Cause at times he looks fine physically on certain plays out there.
I don't know. But what I will say is this, the reason that we were able to hold down Paul George, James Harden, make them look so bad is because our post players are so freaking good switching on the pick and roll. Anytime they would try to get James Harden an isolation opportunity at the top of the key or Paul George or whoever, if they switched Derek Lively off on him, Derek Lively did a fantastic job guarding on the perimeter.
Yep.
And he makes them paranoid because at the beginning of the game, what looked like a blow-by ended up being erased by a swat from behind. And Daniel Gafford does the same exact thing. So really having those two guys in there, it's like we said before the series ever started, having those two guys in there, having bigs that can switch off and guard their stars on PNR situations is so crucial. And we saw that tonight.
Yeah. And look, just to kind of give everybody some more context of how this chippiness went down in game 3. So this has been going on the entire series, but tonight you could tell Russell Westbrook was going to try his best to get under Luka's skin first. You know, he tried getting under Luka's skin. Luka didn't take the bait. You know, they just proceeded to go on. Let's see, the Clippers were up 32-25 early in the second quarter, and then the Mavs proceeded, and that was when Westbrook was trying to punk Luka. And I tweeted it out too. I said he's poking the wrong bear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't poke the Luka bear. Luka bear is mean. You don't mess with him. And the Mavs proceeded to go on a 17-2 run from that point. They were up by 13 at halftime, and they never looked back. So, you know, I think the lead got down to maybe 7 or 6 at one point. Later in that game, but you know, it didn't matter. It never got any closer than that. Kyrie did a good job closing. It was great.
Kyrie hit some really big threes. I think there was a period of time where they got it within 8, and then Kyrie comes down the floor in transition. It was a transition pull-up three, and just a real shot to the guts.
For Kyrie to do what he did there. Yeah, that's why we love him.
It was a shot to the cojones for the Clippers. So, I mean, I remember seeing that. I was like, this game's over with. I mean, that did it right there. So,
yeah, he was fantastic.
He's got ice in his veins, man.
Brings that championship integrity, you know, look, he's yet to shoot really well from his standard. I mean, 8 of 17 is not terrible. I mean, that's almost 50%. He hit 3 of his 7 threes. So, I mean, that's fine. But, you know, we've yet to see that offensive explosion that I keep sensing is coming. And, like, at some point, because the Clippers already look tired, man. They look physically depleted. And at some point, that hard-nosed defense that they've been throwing out for 3 straight games, I feel like is going to let up a little bit. And when it does, Luka and Kyrie are just going to feast.
So, I feel like LA is playing out of character as far as their defense is concerned, specifically with all the physicality that's going on, because those are guys, you know, with the exception of maybe Russell Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard and Zubac. I'm not even going to try to say his first name. How do you say his first name? Like Ivica? Ivica? I don't know.
But anyway, we already pronounce his last name differently. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but I'm
I'm pretty sure it's Zubac because I've heard them say Zubac, but I'm going purely based off what I've heard. Anyway, with the exception of those three guys, this Clippers team is not overly physical by trade. And so you've got to believe that that's going to let up whenever, especially now that, you know, they just got their butts kicked. So,
James Harden specifically isn't really a player that when the going gets tough, he gets going. Yeah. You know, he kind of packs it up a little bit, I think, when all of his shots aren't falling and, you know, he's having to play hard on what's that? Yeah.
He's not getting calls.
Not getting calls and actually having to play defense. Mm-hmm. I think it gets to the point where he's just like, yeah, I don't know about this. You know, Cancun starts looking a little bit nicer than
Cancun, the strip club down the street. That's where he's heading.
But, you know, it's just crazy what the Mavs have been able to do. And, I mean, look, Harden wasn't even – you know, terrible stat-wise in this game, but his defense is so bad that that's why he ended up being such a negative in the box score. But, you know, just the overall defense is just amazing me. We knew coming into this series that the Mavs were good defensively. You don't just luck into having the top defense over the last quarter of the season if you're not a good defensive team. But they have just physically dominated. And Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook tonight, I'm reading this off of StatMuse, they combined for 8 fouls plus 2 technicals, 7 turnovers, and 7 buckets total between the 3 of them. That is dominance.
And it wasn't because they had a bad night. It's because the defense was that good. There was a – okay, we need to talk about your boy Josh Green because
– Oh, man.
Dude was a defensive monster tonight. We got to give him his flowers. We have to.
The way JJ Redick put it on the ESPN broadcast, he said Josh Green is a player that you just wind up and let him go.
Yep. Well, he went tonight because man, there was a Paul George ended up scoring on some just nonsense. You know the play that I'm talking about where he threw it 30 feet in the air and just dropped in.
Completely. But dude, he basically shot the ball while he was sitting on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it could have very easily been called a travel, honestly, but, you know, we're not going to call that. But anyway, that defensive possession, with the exception of the result, was outstanding. I mean, he didn't just bother. I mean, he was in his grill. One of the better players in the whole world. So that should give you a glimpse into Josh Green's defensive capabilities. And if we can see that on a nightly basis, oh my God. And if we can see that on a nightly basis, just consistently, I have no problem with him eating up all of THJ's minutes, honestly.
Yeah. And I think what got Josh Green going a little bit is in the first half, and it's how Russell Westbrook got his first technical. And honestly, I thought it should have been a flagrant too. I thought he should have been tossed at that point in the game.
Yeah, he raked him across the face.
He did. He got raked across the head. Josh Green was running in transition. It was either Luka or Kyrie, I forgot, who passed it ahead to Green. And he was about to tomahawk dunk it in transition. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, you know, he's going to act like he was going for the ball, but we know what he was doing. He saw that as a potential free shot to hit Josh Green in the head, and it didn't work. He ended up getting a flagrant one from it, and that, you know, kind of helped.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's the word? It kind of turned the game in the Mavs' favor from that point on. So, you know, I feel like that kind of got Josh Green's juices flowing a little bit, his competitive juices. He was like, oh, okay, this is how we're going to be? All right. Because, you know, from that point on, Josh Green looked like an all-NBA defender.
You know what? If someone has to rake Josh Green across the face every game, I'm for it. Okay? If that's what it takes.
If that's the end result, you know.
Because, I mean, he was outstanding. I'm pretty sure he is the reason Russell Westbrook turned into, you know, whatever that was towards the end of the game. Because he just got in his grill. Yeah, exactly. Because he got in his grill and frustrated the living hell out of the guy, who already is sort of offensively challenged, in my opinion. So,
yeah, you know. I mean, it was awful. Russell Westbrook, if you're a Clippers fan watching that game, you can't be I mean, I know you want your team to not back down and have some fire and, you know, maybe talk trash and everything. But what he did tonight wasn't basketball stuff. He was way out of control in this one. And one thing I was going to read off here, it popped up while we're recording here, but you know, there was a moment. It was that, what was it? It was the scrum. That's what we'll call it. The scrum that happened in the fourth quarter between PJ Washington and Russell Westbrook. And before that happened, and Russell Westbrook had a crazy foul on Luka that probably should have been another flagrant.
No, it should have
actually
been.
They had Steve Javy on the ESPN broadcast, you know, former official. They asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, they probably should have called him for another flagrant on that, but they didn't. Anyway, before we even got into that, there was another scrum between P.J. Washington and Terrence Mann. And they asked P.J. Washington about it after the game, and he said Terrence Mann was mad that I was looking at their bench. So I decided to look at it again. he turned around and had his arms crossed, you know, looking at the Clippers bench. And when I asked him about him holding the pose, he said, I wanted to get my flicks right for after the game.
Dude, if that's true, the Clippers are so soft, man. Like, if that really bothers you that much, oh my God.
Yeah. This was a case of a team just completely getting worn out end to end, and they couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. It's like they just can't believe what was happening. And, the Mavs are just in excellent shape now, up 2-1, and you have another home game coming Sunday. It's a 2:30 start time, which we know, you know, especially at home and those 2:30 start times, Luka loves to put on a show for the Slovenian fans that are getting to finally view a game on prime time.
Yeah.
And you know, in this game too, you know, I had a good feeling about game three when I saw Luka talking with the, I think it was the Real Madrid president or something like that, before the game. He was at the Mavs game for this one. And, you know, really? Luka went over there and was talking to him and everything. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, well, we might get a little, we might get a little action.
I'm going to tell you how whenever I knew this was going to be a good night was whenever I saw what Luka rolled up in. Did you see that car?
Oh, man.
Now, that here's the
Jordan
best part.
Exclusive?
The car?
Hold on. You're going to have to say that about the car again. It cut out for a second. DJ, can you
hear me? Breaking up. What'd you say?
Okay, say that about the car again. It broke up for a second.
The car matched his shoes.
Incredible like, stuff. Seriously, no word.
His shoes look exactly like his car.
And so, this was all coordinated by Jordan too. I mean, you got the it had the Jordan logo on the back of the car. Mm-hmm. It had the tag on the back just had 77 in a Jordan logo. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my buddies, my buddy's wife's parents saw Luka in that car on the tollway going to the game before. Y'all probably saw the video. It was
I saw the photo. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like going all across the NBA aggregation accounts on Twitter, but it was pretty funny. You know, no chauffeur, nothing. He drives himself around Dallas, and you know, Luka, he's one of us, you know.
Yeah, it looked like he was getting aggravated with the traffic. So
luckily he made it to the game on time though, and everything worked out. But yeah, man, that car is amazing. Yeah. The shoes are amazing. I know you and I personally, we kind of like the toned down colors a little bit, the toned down colorways, but he's got some beautiful shoes, man. And they fly off the racks too. Kyrie's do as well. I still haven't been able to get my hands on a pair of Kyrie's because I can't find any.
They're Antas, aren't they?
Yeah.
You're going to have to order those online. You're not going to find those.
Look, I signed up, you know, for his, I don't know, I guess his tribe thing, you know, where they send the emails when stuff is about to drop. And mm-hmm. I went in there as soon as the last drop happened and tried to get my pair. And it was in the cart, and it was like just had me in a waiting line or whatever. And then by the time it got done, it was like, okay, well, they're not there anymore. And I was like,
dang.
So
I'll tell you what, they do have some sizes available because I was looking at them today too. I was looking at the all white pair that he has. But I'm going to tell you what, Dalton, it probably doesn't help the fact that you've got freaking boats for feet. So
no, it does. It's very, it's funny, you know, because everywhere I have to order all my shoes pretty much online because, you know, the when you wear a 14, it seems like everywhere, like most stores stop at a 13 or most common stores. So, which is part of the reason why I wear basketball shoes, even in a casual setting all the time. So, but anyway, man, game three, amazing. Now we get to turn the page, go into game four. And, you know, I don't think the and I think the Mavs know this, but you can't take your foot off the gas now. You can't take your foot off the gas. You can't give up home court again. You got to take care of business, go up 3-1, and then it puts you in a position where you can close out on the road. And if you don't close out on the road, then you still get to come back for game six and close things out at home. So got to take advantage of playing at home again. Got to take advantage of the fact that still you haven't had an amazing offensive game yet. I feel like that's going to happen at some point. It has to. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to predict it for game four, but I mean, I just don't see this team continuing to score barely 100 points going forward. So, you know, we'll see how game four goes. But as far as this game specifically, is there anything that you saw, you know, because after every game, we kind of analyze it and say, hey, we wish we'd see more of this, wish we saw that. What are you looking for specifically in game four? Or do you think they've pretty much got the recipe for success figured out after these last couple games?
Well, you know, besides obviously a better offensive performance, which I think is on the horizon. I don't see any way that it's not. We got beat on the glass today, I'm pretty sure. I think we lost like 35-29 or something. That's something I always look for. And we did give up some pretty inopportunistic offensive rebounds down the stretch, several of which were converted into threes by Norman freaking Powell. So, you know, in a setting where we're not up 20, those could be extremely detrimental. And they almost were whenever they were able to cut the lead down to 8 and it took a Kyrie Irving shot to the proverbial Clippers nutsack for a recovery there. But we can't rely on those things. We got to do the dirty work, and we got to do it consistently. And really, that's just part of our – it needs to be part of our defensive identity. We're so rugged and so aggressive defensively, but we have to finish the job on each individual defensive possession, and we have to complete stops by securing defensive rebounds. And it ain't glorious. It's not sexy, but it's necessary to win.
Yeah, I agree 100%. They got to keep up the defensive intensity. You know, aside from that first half of game one, and the third quarter of game one.
Yeah.
But the Mavs played great offense in that third quarter of game one.
Yeah.
But for the most part, since the fourth quarter of game one on, the Mavs have been incredible defensively. They have had such an attention to detail. They have had very few lapses. You know, Luka, there were a couple points tonight where it looked like he might have been kept in the game a little too long and was gassed, and, you know, he let a few people get by him. But for the most part, he's still playing amazing defense. He had a couple of great plays on Kawhi tonight.
Oh, yeah.
and James Harden, too.
And Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing it all. And the biggest thing I look for as we go into game four is the three-point shooting for the Mavs. Because I mean, I look at it 9 of 35, and I'm going down individually. PJ Washington was 0 of 4. Mm-hmm. Derek Jones Jr. 1 of 3. Kyrie 3 of 7, which isn't bad. Luka 3 of 14. So 14 of his 25 field goal attempts were 3-pointers. And I mean, look, there's going to be times where he hits, you know, 6 or 7 of those, and the Mavs look unbeatable.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm looking for him to hit a few more shots. I'm looking at, let's see here, Dante Exum. He was 0 of 4 tonight and 0 of 3 from 3. You know, at a certain point, is Dante Exum going to show up in this series? I mean, I figured he'd be more comfortable at home, but he's kind of been out of control a little bit, which is fine.
He doesn't look comfortable out there. He didn't, like, honestly, anytime he had the ball in his hands, he didn't look comfortable. Even whenever he was shooting the ball, he didn't look comfortable. So, you know, a big thing for Exum is, number one, just get comfortable first. Maybe, you know, try and get to the free throw line. See the ball go through the hoop a few times.
Defensively, confidence. Defensively, he's fine. I think he's locked in on the defensive end, but it's just he's kind of hesitant on offense. And I feel like he needs to just see one go in, and then everything will be fine from there, because he's capable. I mean, the dude shot nearly 50% from three for the season. So, you know, take it with confidence, dude. Like, we're a few Dante Exum threes and Luka just not being terrible from three away from finishing this series off in five games if they take care of business. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I think if the Mavs can hit a few more threes, because a lot of these are good shots and they're just missing them. Luka's aren't. Luka's taking end of the shot clock threes where he there were a few times tonight where he pounded the air out of the ball and then took a last second heave, which we'll give him a pass because he's doing everything else right. But it was some frustrating moments there. But again, Mavs win 101-90, physically dominant. The big men, they're finally stepping up. The Clippers, they're running out of options. It's like, okay, we're going to take away the lob, but we still get beat. So then they lighten up on that, then they get killed by the lob in the first half of game three, and they lose again. And it's like, well, where do we go from here? Because the Mavs are just beating them down on the defensive end. That's all we got to talk about from game four. It was awesome. As I said, the last game, it's great to get to recap, you know, all the different parts of these playoff games, because they just feel like a story of themselves. You know, each individual game and stuff happens, and I'm ready to see how game four goes, because the way the officiating has gone, the way the Mavs have played defense for the last 2 months, it just feels like this team is too much for this older Clippers roster. So we'll see how it goes. Guys, look, we appreciate y'all joining us here late night Friday. Hope you all have a great weekend. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We just crossed the 22,000 sub mark the other day, so we greatly appreciate that. Go leave comments and likes, and if you want to be entered for a chance to win giveaways, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review with your social media at, so we can contact you if you do win the giveaways. We give away t-shirts. At some point, we'll be doing a ticket giveaway again. I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but, you know, stay tuned for that. If you want to throw your name in the hat, go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend, and we will see you after game four on Sunday.
Thanks, guys.